In 1980, red wolves were declared extinct in the wild, but a special North Carolina program to preserve the population stopped the species from completely dying out. Now, U.S. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina is asking for an end to that program. Dave DeWitt is WUNC's managing editor, and he's watching the story. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Let's talk about this, the Red Wolf Program. They give us a very brief history of the program and what's happening now with the wolves.
Yeah, sure. In the 1980s, they reintroduced wild red wolves onto the Albemarle-Pamlico Peninsula, the Alligator National Wildlife Refuge. The program grew to more than 100 or so, up to 150, some people thought, red wolves in the wild. They got beyond that area that they'd released them into, got into some landowner property that upset some landowners. They went to the government, and here we are.
All right. So now tell us about the program. So it's been the population has expanded. So to that extent, it is marginally successful. We don't know how successful. Why is Tom Tillis wanting an end to this program?
Well, the program has declined dramatically in the last few years, largely due to some illegal shootings. They think there are maybe 35 to 50 red wolves now wild out in that area. Tom Tillis has sided with the landowners. He said he's met with more than 500 or so landowners who want this program ended and these red wolves removed and put into captivity. Now, we should say there are at least one lawsuit going on that charges Fish and Wildlife Service with some violations of the Endangered Species Act, not protecting these red wolves enough. So it can't just be ended like that. But Tom Tillis is trying to do so pretty much through appropriations to the Department of the Interior and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And there have been questions about the red wolf anyway because it's of the way it has commingled its genes with coyotes, for instance.
That's right. Researchers here in North Carolina think that have done some DNA testing, and they say that it's only 24% wolf and 76% coyote the red wolves are. So, you know, there is that intermingling is one of the things that the landowners say is that it's not even a species that we're trying to protect the red wolves are. Advocates obviously say they are indeed a species. They roamed the southeastern United States for many centuries before white men got here, and that wiping them out is not a good idea because it sets a bad precedent for other endangered animals.
What about, are they being protected and reintroduced anywhere else in the country?
No, not as a wild species, as red wolves. There's certainly been some gray wolf wild releases out in the western states, but here it's the only project like this east of the Mississippi. Anybody who's ever been out to that part of North Carolina, that Albemarle-Pamlico Peninsula, it's a five-county area. It's about 3,200 square miles of Pocosin marshland, bombing ranges, and timber farms. And it's a desolate place. And people thought this would be a good place to release these red wolves. Red wolves quickly got off of the government land and onto these landowner things. So, you know, red wolves are a top-line predator. Men did not intermingle with them well when we got here, white men. And so bringing them back has run into some of these problems. Now, how many problems? You know, Tom Tillis used the term terrorizing North Carolinians. I don't know that that's quite exactly what's happening. You see some livestock, maybe some wildlife has gone missing from the red wolves, but you don't see that kind of level of terror that he describes.
So what's the next step now in this process?
Well, there's a lot of next steps. One would be just budgeting for the Department of the Interior. If Fish and Wildlife Service is ordered to end the program, you'll certainly see ramping up of lawsuits. It's not going to happen overnight. If it ever did happen, the North Carolina Zoo and a lot of other facilities breed captive red wolves. They'd probably go there. But we're pretty far from that.
All right. Dave DeWitt, WUNC's managing editor. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
We have links to all of this stuff that you've talked about and we have talked about on our show at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, what near-death experience tells us about our brains, our beliefs, and our consciousness. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.